Turn to Acts chapter 13 with me this morning. Acts chapter 13. Thank you, Brother Roland and choir. Acts chapter 13. This morning we're going to be looking at a God moment. A God moment. Have you ever had a moment in your life that it was a life changer? I've had a few. You know, those times in life where it's kind of a mountaintop experience and it's pivotal and it changes your entire life. I asked my wife, Alicia, yesterday, what are some major moments in her life, God moments? And she said, when our three children were born. I agree with that. When our children were born, those were God moments, and they were wonderful, and now we're getting to experience grandchildren being born. And those are God moments. Those are pivotal moments in our lives. A God moment is when I have the opportunity, God allows me to be part of someone's salvation. I know one plants, another waters. God gives the increase, but when I get to pray with someone, they ask Jesus in their heart and life, that's a God moment, is it not? So we're talking about God moments, things that is pivotal. One major God moment in my life is as a young boy, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life, to forgive me of my sins and to save me. That was a God moment that changed my life. And I preached my first sermon when I was 12 years old, standing on two coke crates at a church in Nebo, Louisiana. But you know what? I kind of got away from the Lord for a while. And when I was in the desert, I knelt down beside my cot one night after reading the Bible that my wife put in my duffel bag. I didn't put it there. She did. And reading my Bible, I knelt down and I talked to the Lord. The Lord talked to me. And I said, Lord, I'm not that 12-year-old boy anymore that preached there at that church, but here I am if you'll use me. And that was a God moment. It was a pivotal time in my life that I spent time with God and it changed my life in the direction of my life. You see, there are numerous God moments also mentioned in Scripture that were pivotal times in people's lives. And I'm not going to go through all of them for the sake of time. But Joseph, his brethren sold him into slavery because they were envious. But the Bible says, but God was with Joseph. That was a God moment. Also, you know, when we think of David standing before Goliath, and he kills Goliath, hits him with a rock from a sling, and then slews him with his own sword, that was a pivotal time in David's life. That was a God moment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that would not bow down to in pagan worship of an idol, refused to bow down and thrown into a fiery furnace, and yet there was four then in the fiery furnace, one like the Son of God, and though that was a God moment in their lives. God moments. Many are mentioned throughout Scripture. You know, a God moment also mentioned in Scripture. In Romans chapter 5, it says that we were dead, that we were helpless and without strength. There was no hope for us. But it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God, everyone say that's a God moment. But God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were without strength and without any hope, Christ died for you and I. That's a God moment for all humanity. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are dead in trespasses and sins, children of wrath. We are disobedient to the law of God. But then it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. That's a God moment. When God breaks in the scene and changes lives. You know, there was a God moment in Isaiah's life in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah goes into the temple. He was down and in great despair. Isaiah was a prophet of God and was called to preach to God's people. But it says in Isaiah chapter 6 that King Uzziah had died, and King Uzziah was a good king. You know, he was very popular, and Isaiah liked him, but Isaiah was down in despair because it looked like there was no hope left for the nation, because he could see what was coming up after this King Uzziah that had died. And yet Isaiah, in despair, discouraged, you know, down and out in life, was in God's house. Now, we know this is just a building, but we call this the house of God, too. Did you know that? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in us as born-again believers, but this is the house of God. And Isaiah was in the house of God, you know, just down and out and looking and praying, wanting to hear a word from the Lord. You know what happened? A God moment. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the King of glory. Yeah, the earthly king had died, but he saw the King of glory and the seraphim and the creatures of heaven worshiping him and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He had a God moment. Maybe you this morning. Maybe you're in a time of life. You're maybe going in a bad way right now, or something has happened, or something just is not turning out the way you had planned it. And you may be just in a bad way or a bad fix this morning, but you're in the house of God. God has ordained this moment for you, and you can have a God moment just like Isaiah. In despair, you can also have a God moment. A time where God can touch your heart and have a pivotal time in your life with God. Do you want that? Do you want that? In our passage of Scripture this morning, in Acts chapter 13, we see a God moment. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 28 of Acts chapter 13. The Bible says, "And though they found no cause for death in him," this is speaking about Jesus, "he was a lamb without spot or blemish. He was the sinless Son of God. They could find no fault in him. They asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him," you know, only Jesus has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies concerning himself. I mean, if you put the odds to it, I mean, being born in Bethlehem, and you just go on and on and on about the prophecies of the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled every one of them. "And they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb." See, he was nailed to the cross, to a tree, because the Bible says in Galatians, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." He took our curse for us. Laid him in a tomb. The Messiah. The anointed one of God that had been all the prophecies and even Isaiah wrote about was nailed to a cross and put in a tomb. But you know something about that tomb? It was a borrowed tomb. He didn't need it very long. It says, verse 30, but God. Everyone say, that's a God moment. There's a God moment. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. Not only was he put in a tomb, he died on the cross, gave his life for us, but he was seen by many people after the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6 says that over 500 people saw him ascend up into heaven. That's a lot of people, isn't it? They were witnesses to the people. Verse 32, and we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. See, this is good news for you and I, for everyone. Verse 33, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. And it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Verse 35, therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. That's something to underline right there. The forgiveness of sins, verse 39, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. So, we have this great passage of Scripture, and even some more Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he conquered death. When God raised the body of Jesus from the dead, he did not see corruption. And we see also that this was a God moment that is above all God moments thus far. But God, it says, raised him from the dead. But let me tell you something. Yes, this is the greatest God moment, the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus, but he ascended up. He is the only mediator between God and man, it says in the Bible. I believe that. But you know, there's another God moment coming. You know what it is? He's coming back. That's going to be a God moment, isn't it? To see Jesus come back on his Shekinah glory cloud and to call us home, that's going to be a God moment that we're looking forward to. Amen? Amen. But let me tell you about this God moment that we can have right now. It says again in verses 38 and 39, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, speaking of Christ Jesus the Lord, through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness. Isn't that a beautiful word? Forgiven. Forgiveness. And it's to those who believe, it says. The word believe is the English verb for faith. Okay? We believe to the saving of our soul. That is our response to the gospel message. Please listen. God wills that none should perish. We were created in the image of God, but we lost that image because of sin. But God created us that we can know Him. And if we believe, we trust and obey, we initially trust and believe that Jesus died for our sins but rose again and conquered the grave, when we believe that, that is salvation for us, and then we're going to live for Him. That's living faith. That is believing. So all who believe will have forgiveness. That means to be set free, the word forgiveness, to let loose of sins. Who needs that? Everybody. Everybody has sinned one way or another. Everybody needs this God moment. And not only does it say forgiveness of sins, but in verse 39 it says that we are justified. When we believe, place our faith in Christ, we're forgiven. And the word justified means to be set right. And to be set right is to be in the righteousness of Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we enter in. When we believe, it's by faith. And we receive forgiveness and we receive Christ's righteousness. Because if we try to be set right before a holy God in our own righteousness, guess what? We're all dirty and filthy before a holy God. So therefore, we must enter in by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him or placed upon him righteousness. That's how you and I must go too. Believe. Believe. And receive Christ's righteousness. And we're made right. We are forgiven of sins. And we're made right before God. Everyone say, that's good news. It is. That's a God moment. And please listen. Don't miss out on it. Have you ever missed out on something very important? Do you wish you wouldn't have? I have. I believe all of us have. Here's some just small examples. You ever been at a ball game? And you're always, most time I sit on the very front bleacher. And, I mean, they may be playing and there's a, I mean, you, someone walks right in front of you, then all of a sudden the whole crowd goes, yay! And just like, I missed it. Someone walked right in front of me. Maybe the deer hunters in here can relate. Have you ever sat on your deer stand? I have one deer stand that's a lane. And, you know, you could be looking this way, watching a squirrel or something. And then you look this way after you daydreamed a while. You look that away and you see the tail of one walking across your lane. I know that, maybe that's only happened to me, okay? But to a deer hunter, that's a big thing to miss something like that. Missing things that you wish you wouldn't have never missed. Sometimes we will miss God moments because of pressures of life. I mean, we feel like we're in a press and we're just being pressed all the time. And we don't take time to have our God moments. Times with God. Maybe because of simple busyness of life, running our kids to and fro and doing this and doing that and trying to please everybody. And we become so busy ourselves that we miss out on God moments. Sometimes pleasures in life. And what I mean by that, good things. Good things can take place of God moments. And they're good in their time and in their rightful place. But when that good thing takes the place of our worship and our place of relationship and the place of God, we miss out on the God moments when we run after other things. Missing out on God moments. You know what? When we experience God moments, it can change us. Relationships can be reconciled. Unity can be brought back together. People start forgiving one another. and we start loving one another, that way the world will know that we belong to Jesus when we love each other. But when we miss out on the God moments of our lives, we miss out completely. We fall out of fellowship with God. Please listen, beginning verse 40. Don't miss out. Do not turn away, but turn to Him. It says, beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Folks, we're so blessed as Americans. So blessed. We have opportunity after opportunity to have God moments. People have paid the price for what we have, and we are abusing it. We're abusing it. Don't miss out on this God moment. Maybe right now, this morning, God wants to meet with you. God wants a relationship with you. And God wants to save you. And God loves you. And you know how I know? He said so at the cross of Calvary. That's where He said that, I love you. I love you. I love you. Do you want a God moment? Do you want a moment that can change your life? Because God is in the business of doing that. And it's through the cross of Jesus and His resurrection. Will you believe? Will you follow Jesus? We're fixing to have an invitation. And an invitation is we're inviting you to respond to the gospel message. You can follow Jesus. You can say, yes, I believe and I will place my faith in Jesus. You know what we'll do? We'll congratulate you. All we'll do is be happy for you. Okay? You can confess Christ. You don't have to say or do anything except trust Jesus and ask Him in your heart. And all we'll do is come by and welcome you in our church family. And you can have a God moment that will change your life. Maybe God is leading you to be a part of this church family. And that's a pivotal time to say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to serve Jesus here at Cooper Baptist Church. I'm going to make a final say to this church and to this community. I'm going to serve the Lord and love the Lord here. That'll be a God moment. Child of God, if you've been following after other things, you can say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to start having God moments again. Those special times of being in the presence of my King. I'm going to do that from now on. This God moment is for eternity. It's for eternity. Don't miss out on this God moment this morning. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask Brother Roland. He will come and lead us in a song of invitation, but I'm going to pray as he comes forward, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your sure word and testimony. Lord, we know that you cannot lie, oh God. So Lord, we trust in your word and help us to trust and to follow you daily. May we tend to eternity, Lord, in this moment of time. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen.